Bibles and turn with me to the Gospel of Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter number 1, and going to be dealing with a Christmas theme, the birth of the Lord. And this morning, it's a tendency among some of us to minimize the importance of the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ. We certainly are to revere and to bless because of her being chosen of the Lord to be the instrument, the vessel through which our Lord Jesus Christ was birthed into this world. And we read here in the Gospel of Luke chapter number 1. I want us to begin in verse number 26. And I'm going to be reading quite a few verses, and then in the message, we'll try to bring all this together. In Luke chapter number 1, verse number 26, says, "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into the city of Galilee, named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, in the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast her mind what manner salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and for his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who is called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her." Reading these verses, and we will read on a little bit more in this particular passage and some other places, we find that the announcement of the angel Gabriel has come unto Mary and tells her that she is going to bring forth a child. And the first thing that she made statement of is, how can this be? Seeing that I know not a man. Now, if you read the histories, and you read the different documents concerning the espousal, when the Jews were espoused one to another, you'll find that was an arrangement that was given to them, that it was as binding as being married, but yet not coming together as husband and wife. And the Scripture is very clear when we read these verses and the other passages of Scripture. It is very clear that tells us and reminds us that Mary knew not a man, and she had no relationship with a man at all. And so therefore, keeping the Scripture pure, according to the book of Isaiah, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And so Mary now has been chosen to be that instrument, or to be that vessel, that God is going to use to bring his son into this world. And it is a miracle birth, and when Gabriel appears to Mary, it is surprising to many of us when we see the pictures and we see all the activities of the Christmas season and the traditions that are all going on. But it is sort of surprising to us when we realize and when we learn that Mary probably was around 16, 17, maybe 18 years of age, just a young girl, and she comes and has the angel Gabriel give her such a message and gives her such a a story that she says, how can these things be? But when she hears all the details, and the Bible says in verse number 38 that Mary said, "Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. And we find in the next few verses, you'll find that Mary makes a trip to see Elizabeth. The angel has told her that Elizabeth had conceived and she was going to bear a son also. And she has already been carrying that child 6 months. And so we know that this child of Zacharias and Elizabeth was none other than John the Baptist. And so Mary goes and sees Elizabeth, and in verse number 39, and she enters into the house of Zacharias and salutes Elizabeth, verse number 41. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed art thou among women, blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed. For there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord." So here we're setting the scene that Mary is going to bring forth the Son of God. If you read on in the passages that are to follow, and we'll not take the time this morning, you'll find that that there was a man by the name of Simeon. He sees the Lord and he recognizes, this is after the birth, and he recognizes that this child is the one that's called the consolation of Israel, according to verse number 25 of chapter 2. And it's revealed to him of the Holy Ghost that it should be should not see death before he has seen the Lord's Christ, or that he would see the Lord's Messiah. Then you read on down, you find the adoration of Anna. And when she understands and when she hears about the Lord coming, she makes some statements concerning him, and she was a prophetess. And the Bible says she was an elderly, fourscore and 4 years, or 84 years, which departed from the temple, or departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise to the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Now the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ was not some little side incident or side happening. This is something that had been prophesied for years and years and centuries before. There would be a Messiah. There would be that one that would call, and he would come, and he would be the consolation, or he would be the deliverer of the people of Israel. Not only that, but you'll find in the Scripture that he's the light unto the Gentiles. Thank God for that. You and I, as Gentile people, he is a light unto us, and we see that light through the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the light of the world. And we find that all these statements are made concerning the Lord and his birth. When you come to the birth of Jesus Christ, that birth is the last one that is recorded in Scripture. The last recorded birth in the Word of God is the birth of our Savior. I believe that's very significant because in the Old Testament, there were multiple births recorded. There are multiple genealogies. Sometimes we read those genealogies and this one begat this one, this one begat, and it seems as though it's just a mixture of things that we have no understanding about. But all of those genealogies are for a purpose to show us that there was a continual looking forward, a continual desiring that they would be a Messiah born of that family. Now we have a family that's chosen. We have Joseph, we have Mary. And certainly they were a blessed family. Certainly they were the one and that had been given the privilege of birthing and bringing into this world the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. We find in verse number 42 in Luke chapter 1. And she spake with a loud voice and saying, "Blessed art thou among women, blessed is the fruit of thy womb." And the fruit of the womb, of course, is none other than Jesus Christ, Blessed art thou among women. Not blessed art thou above women, but blessed art thou among women. And God has chosen this man and this woman who have not come together as truly husband and wife. And God is going to bring into this world the magnificent Savior that has been prophesied for generation after generation, that now it is time that He is going to be born. And Mary is that vessel that God has chosen. And I want us to notice just a few things about Mary this morning that I believe are important to us as we study the Scripture and the Mary of the Bible. We're not talking about the Mary of tradition. We're not talking about the Mary of religion. We're talking about the Mary of the Scripture and how that God used her and how God chose her and how God blessed her to be that vessel, that instrument, to be the deliverer of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now in verse number 26 through 34 of our text this morning, we're not going to reread those verses, but in those verses we find Mary's character. We find what kind of a lady, a young lady, this girl is. Here's a 16, maybe 17-year-old young lady that has been promised to Joseph. They are espoused. They are, as in the mind of the Jew, they were as good as married. They had been, we would call it an engagement, but to the Jew it's much more than just a trial period of getting to know. It's much more than just being engaged. A spouse means that you were going to be married regardless. And of course we see that in the Scripture. We find in verse number 26 through 30 that Mary is a very godly individual. Even though she may be young and she was a young lady, she was a godly lady, and she paid attention to the message of what God was giving her through the angel Gabriel. Verse number 26, the angel comes in that 6 months, comes to Galilee, comes to Nazareth, and here's this virgin espoused to Joseph and from the house of David. And the angel said, "Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee." The Lord is with thee. She listened to the messenger of God, and when she heard the message, she said, "How can these things be? How can this happen?" Because knowing the process of life, it's an impossibility to have a child without having a man and having the Father. But yet, God overshadowed her by the Holy Spirit of God and brought into this world the Lord Jesus Christ. And she, being the lady that she was, and the godly lady, she was a pure lady. The Scripture says in verse number 34, she says, I know not a man. I've not known a man. I'm not able to have a child. And so she was pure in everything about her life. And she probably knew the Scripture, what the book of Isaiah had given. There, as we quoted a while ago in Isaiah chapter 7, verse number 14, that a virgin would conceive and bring forth a son, and his name would be called Emmanuel, which is interpreted God with us. And that's exactly what was given to us concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. All the lambs that were slain in the Old Testament, all those prophecies that were given concerning the Lord in the Old Testament, all pointed toward and was a pointer to this day in which Jesus Christ would be born. When Isaiah said, "A virgin shall conceive," now we've gone through the process of time, a virgin has conceived. She's going to bring forth a son. She's going to bring forth the deliverer to the Jew and to the Gentile alike. And Genesis even tells us that this deliverer would be the seed of the woman, not the seed of the man. It's the seed of the woman, and that being through the Virgin Mary. She knew that her son would be a product of the Holy Ghost because the angel told her, and she believed. And when she got the full message, she said, "Be it unto me according to thy word. Be it unto me according to the word of the Lord." And she realized that what she was carrying or would carry would be the Messiah, would be that one that was hoped for and longed for all these centuries since the fall of man in the book of Genesis. And so she lived every day knowing that she was bringing forth the Son of God. But also coming with that, there's not only her character, but there's a crisis in her life. There's a problem that is arising now, and there's a difficulty as far as people are concerned. They know that she has been espoused. They know that she has not come together with Joseph, but yet she's with child. And so she has to deal with the problem, or deal with the crisis, or deal with the social stigma that here's an unmarried young girl and she's going to have a child. Now, people of that generation are no different than the people of this generation. They understood and they thought this is what happened. Even Joseph had a little bit of a problem with that. Turn back to Matthew chapter number 1 and we'll look at what the Scripture says here concerning Joseph. In Matthew chapter number 1, verse number 18. Again, this is a popular verse that would tell us concerning the birth of our Lord that's used so many times during the Christmas season. The Bible says in verse 18, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as His mother Mary was espoused to Joseph," and notice the careful addition here to these words, "before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost." Now, it doesn't say here, it doesn't leave off the word Holy Ghost. She was found with child of the Holy Ghost. And Joseph, notice how important espousal is to the Jew. Joseph, her husband. The Scripture clearly tells us that they were going to be united. They were going to be husband and wife. When the espousal took place, the tradition was that the man would go and prepare the place for his bride. That he would take a journey, he'd take a trip to wherever they were going to live, and he would be the one that would take care of getting everything together, getting the house ready, getting all the goods ready. He really, what he's doing is preparing a place for her to come. And now Joseph finds out, and he sees the details and he hears what is being taken, and he says here that Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example. Joseph had the legal right to stand her before the Jewish Sanhedrin and literally have her stoned to death. But he didn't want to make a public example out of her. He maybe has gone and prepared that place. And my, how that does picture what the Lord says He has done for us. And by the way, we as believers, the Scripture calls us the bride of Christ. We are espoused unto the Lord, and we one day will go to be with Him regardless of what happens in this world. We are espoused. We are as good as already there. And Jesus says, "I've gone to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also." That's what Joseph, that's what all the Jewish men would do when they were espoused to that young girl. And at that particular period of time, he would go and prepare a place, and he was going to come back and get her and take her there. That's exactly what the Lord is going to do for us. And so we find here that Joseph hears, and probably now he sees, that she is with child. And he's not willing to make her a public example, but he was minded to put her away privately. He had the legal right that he could make a public example out of her, or he could put her away and she would never be seen again. He could have done that and still been within his legal rights as a Jew. Verse number 20. Thank God for verse 20. "But while he thought on these things," you see the crisis that's coming to this family? Mary, she can't explain it. She doesn't know all the details. She just believes the angel of God. She just believes what Gabriel told her. And she went to Mary, or went to Elizabeth rather. And as she enters even, and when John heard the voice of Mary, he leaped in the womb of Elizabeth because he was in the presence of the Son of God. Mary, I'm sure, did not understand all that was taking place. And Joseph really did not understand what had happened. Here he was, and he had trusted her. He's espoused or engaged to her, and now she's pregnant. He can make her a public example and make it known to all the world around her. Or he can put her away privately where she'd never be seen or heard from again. And while he thought on that, can you imagine what his heart might have felt? He's thinking what's happened. He's thinking the tragedy of life. And while he thought on those things, the Scripture says, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, here's the deliverance. Fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which is interpreted, God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. Here we find Joseph is asleep, and the angel comes to him and says, Do not fear to take that young girl. She has been faithful. She has her purity, and that which is happening in her life is going to be a deliverance to the whole world. And Joseph, he's not much older, some older than Mary, according to the traditions of how they espoused and how they got married. Here's a young man that has a young lady. He's probably gone and prepared his place. And now the crisis has come, and what do we do? Do I make her public example? Do I put her away? Never to be seen again? And while he thought on that, maybe he drifted off to sleep, and then that sleeping dream came to him. The angel said, Fear not. Boy, isn't it a great thing when God says, Fear not. Troubles that come our way and difficulties that come our direction, I'm so glad there are times when God comes on the scene and He says everything will be okay. You may not know how it's going to be okay, but God says it's okay. God says it'll work out. God says it'll be all right. And that's exactly the comfort that God gave to Mary and also gave to Joseph. And they both had to have that. Because this is happening to them has never happened. Not in the history of mankind has it ever happened before or after. So there had to be some explanation from the Almighty. How is she going to break the news to Joseph? She don't have to. It's going to show on her. And Joseph is troubled. And the angel says, it's going to be okay. Here we find that the Bible says that he raised from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. I'm glad that's not the last sentence. I'm glad that's not the last verse. Notice how careful, once again, the Scripture is to show to us the virgin birth. And knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. He did what the angel bid him to do. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. By tradition, that firstborn son should have been called Joseph. He should have carried his father's name. And you'll find in the Old Testament that every family, every woman desired to have what? A man child. Hannah, when she desired to have a child, she didn't pray to God just to give her a child. She prayed to God to give her a boy, a man child. For in that is the hope of that family, that through that lineage or through that seed, possibly somewhere down the line, we may be in the lineage of a Messiah. Oh, but he's of the family of David. And we find that he is the Son of God. And here, Mary, willing to lose her reputation, willing to suffer the misunderstandings of the community, willing to jeopardize even her marriage to Joseph, she says, I'll bear those things. For all the joy of knowing that she was being used of God to deliver to this world the Son of God. Back a few years ago, there was a song written. A couple of years ago, I preached a message, same title, Mary, Did You Know? There's a whole lot of things Mary knew. Because she was first of all, a very spiritual young girl. And when the angel came to her, she knew what had taken place. She knew she was pure. She says to the angel, I can't have a child. I don't know a man. I'm pure. She knew that for a fact, but nobody else seemed to maybe think about that. She realized that what she was carrying, that child that she was carrying, had been prophesied in Scripture that He was going to come. And here that day that has been anticipated for centuries now has literally come to pass in the life of a young maiden called Mary. She's important in Scripture. She's important in the Word of God, for she is the one that the Lord, God of heaven, chose to deliver us the Savior. Now we do not follow the traditions of men and the traditions of religion. We do not lift up too high. But I'll tell you what, the Scripture says she's highly favored of God. The Scripture says she was chosen of the Lord. She knew that what she had in her body was perfectly the Lamb of God that one day would take away the sin of the world. She knew that He would be praised one day, and I believe she probably knew that He would die one day. Oh, Mary knew a lot about that one that she was carrying called Emmanuel. Joseph, you name him Jesus. You don't name him Joseph, you name him Jesus. And so there's a celebration that takes place after the crisis, after the understanding and the knowledge that Joseph has now understood that the angel has given him perfect understanding of what has taken place. Now there is celebration. We read about that in the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 1, in those verses, verse number 46 through 55. We'll not read them again. But there is we did not read them. We'll read a few of them now. In verse number 46, this is Mary's words. Not necessarily about herself, but it's about the one she's carrying. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse number 46 of Luke chapter number 1, the Bible says, And Mary said, her words, My soul doth magnify the Lord. My soul, magnify. She says in verse 47, My spirit hath rejoiced in God, my Savior. Now, from verse 48 on down through verse number 55, it changes from the subject of Mary to the subject of Him. And by the way, the subject of the season that we're in right now, the subject of that season is Him. It's not the trees that we see and the bright lights, and they're beautiful. It's not the decorations. It's not the merriment. It's not even the giving of gifts. What we are in at this particular time is all about Him. And if it's not about Him, then we've lost the real reason and the meaning of Christmas. And notice what she says, verse 48. For He hath regarded the low estate of His handmaiden. She said, I'm nothing. This is her words. He hath regarded the low estate of His handmaid, for before from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. And how true that has been. Mary is known today not because of who she was. she is known today because of who he was and who he is. Verse 49. For he that is mighty hath done for me great things. Holy is his name. Verse 50. His mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud with the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent away empty. He hath holpen his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. And he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever, forever. Here is called the Magnificat. This is the song of Mary. This is the praise of Mary for what God has done in her life. And how that God has chosen her, and he becomes the central point and the central figure from that point on. And by the way, he's still the central figure. He is still the Son of God. God is the subject of Mary's praise. Mary was not singing about herself. She's singing about him. Verse number 48 talks about the grace of God. Verse 49 and 51 talks about the power of God. Verse 54 talks about the mercy of God. Verse 51 through 53 talks about the justice of God. Verse 54, 55 talks about the faithfulness of God. She knew who she was praising. This morning, as we come to a season, we've got one more weekend and then Christmas Day. Wednesday week is Christmas Eve. A week from Thursday is Christmas Day. The world will celebrate and the world will go party. They'll do all the things that the world knows how to do well. And you and I, we can understand that he is the Savior of everyone that will believe. He is the Son of God. And Mary was highly favored. She was blessed of God. She was chosen of all the maidens of Israel. But yet God chose Joseph and Mary, for they were of the right family, from her and also from Joseph. The Scripture says that Jesus was the supposed son of Joseph. He was not the son of Joseph. He is the Son of God. Bless His name this morning. We know from the Scripture of how important it is to recognize who the Lord is. To recognize that Jesus is the Savior of the world. He came this way. You know, if he'd have come with Joseph's blood and if he'd been the son of Joseph, he wouldn't be any different than any of us. He'd be just like me. Boy, that'd be terrible. He'd be just like you. He'd be just terrible. Because we are tainted with sin. It's in our bloodline. Speaking modernly, it's in our DNA. We're sinners. Can't get away from it. Everything you look, everything you see, everything you do, everything you hear, everything, we're sinners. And so God chose the perfect Lamb, His Son, to be birthed into this world, not from the seed of Adam. For Adam chose deliberately to sin against God. And in Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 15, God tells Satan, said, the seed of the woman shall bruise your head, and that's a bruising unto death. Thank God the victory's already been won. It's in Christ. Just going to be a process of time taking care of it. God always deals in time. And so this morning we have the message of the Lord coming. And it's a message of deliverance and salvation to the Jew and the Gentile alike. Because He is the light of the world. Mary knew some things about Him and she knew some things about the Word of God. And she was willingly acceptance of what God had put upon her. Didn't matter what the people thought or what they said. It really didn't matter what Joseph thought or what he said. She believed God. This morning, that's really all we have to do is just believe the Lord. Just trust Him. He has told us time and time again. And all we have to do is believe. One of our songs this morning was Look and Live. My brother, look and live. Look to Jesus now and live. That song is taken out of context from the Old Testament. When they put up that brazen serpent, brass is always a type of sin. And there, the people of Israel had sinned against God, and God said, you take the brass, you make a serpent, make a snake, put it upon a pole. God told us that everybody that looks, you live. I'm glad, thank God, He's my sacrifice. He's the one placed upon the Calvary's tree, and I can look and I can live and I can trust Him. May God help us today to know truly the story of Christmas. Not what books tell us, not what people tell us, not what tradition tells us, not even what churches tell us, but know what the book says about the birth of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, coming into a young family, Joseph and Mary. And they both believed the Word of God. And we have the rest of the story. You can find, I looked yesterday some, you can find that Mary was very, very present in the ministry of her son. She was in the upper room when they were praying. She was a lot of places. She was at the cross when Jesus was dying. For she knew. Oh, Mary, yes, she knew that the one that she birthed into this world would one day have to die for the world. And she was a part of the world. And she realized, that's my son. And Jesus made some statements about her. I think the greatest statement that Mary made about her own son was said, whatever he says, just do it. It's whatever he says. Told the disciples, whatsoever he says, do it. She knew. And as the Lord was there, dying on the cross of Calvary, blood dripping from the wounds of his body, literally the life flowing from him, he told John, behold thy mother. He recognized, just in those few words, Jesus only said seven things as he hung there on the cross, and one of them was about his mother. He knew that she knew who he was. The question is this morning, do we really know who he is? Do we have that relationship? Do we have that personal understanding that he's not just a figure of history, he's the Son of God? He's not just something to tell a story about. He's God that came in the flesh and dwelt among men. And John says, we beheld His glory, even the glory of the Father. So He's not some little character. He's the God of heaven. Do we really know Him in the full and free pardon of our sins? Look and live. We shall live. Let's stand this morning.